name we pray. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and get into our study tonight. The title of my study is He is Still Good. You may have said, Jesse, you've already used that title this year. Well, if I'm going to be here for a long time, you better get used to things like that. I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of Job. If you look in the book of Job there, you're going to see a lot. You're going to see a lot of advice in the book of Job. Most of that book is bad advice. There's a lot of advice there and opinion that's like, no, don't do that. Don't listen to that. And then you got some great chapters where God literally tells Job, gird up your loins, man. Get ready. Come on a journey with me. Where were you when I established the foundations? Can you tell me how the Leviathan does what it does? I mean, just real big boy questions, you know? And then we see how Job is restored at the end. Many, many times more than what he had. But we see in the first two chapters of Job, we see a lot of loss. We see a lot of grief. And I want to look at that. Look there in chapter 1 of Job. This is on page 569 in a church Bible, or if you have a Scofield Bible. I want you to look there in verse 13. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Well, that's enough to cause a lot of stress. So we see he loses his livestock here immediately. And he loses servants, good men. Verse 16. While he was yet speaking. So this is another word for immediately, or as to interrupt the other news that was just given. There came also another servant and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. They're dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Verse 17, while he was yet speaking, again, there came another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands, fell upon the camels and carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. It seems like a cruel joke. Like the whole point is I'm the only one that escaped. But no, he has real loss here. He has his livestock. He has his camels for transportation. They're all taken. His servants now, none remain except the ones that have borne him this news. And then verse 18, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. I have never received a call of that my nephews have died. I don't have children of my own. But I can't imagine what that call would be like. Some of you in this room have had calls like that. You have been with people close where children have died. And you know, we're always saying that it ought not be that way. But boy, that's often the way it is. Can you imagine getting news like that on the heels of all of this? You're looking at a broken man. A broken wife, too. Verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I want you to take note of verse 22. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Boy, we can see how he can come to that conclusion. Look closely at what he says in verse 21. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. And the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see his position. Job's camels, the oxen, the daughters, the sons, the property, the servants, they were not his. Oh, but Jesse, they're on his land. Well, he is responsible for them. He and his wife came together and those children were born and he raised those kids and he sacrificed daily for those kids. Yes, those are his kids. No, they're not. Moreover, it is required in men in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. But we skip the one part. Stewards. Everything that we have in this life is given to us and it can be taken away. It can be taken away. And it was taken away here. But even in all of this calamity and sudden disaster and just a complete erasing of what he had, the writer here says he did not charge God foolishly. Could we say the same? Could we say, it is well with my soul in the midst of disaster? Look what it says here in verse 13 of chapter 2. Well, actually, verse 7. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Hello. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. And you know the exchange, the devil talking to the Lord and saying, well, I mean, you took away everything he had, but you didn't take away his health. If you take away his health, he's going to curse you. And the Lord allowed this to happen as an example. And we see here in verse 9. Now, I want you to, here's the context here. He's lost everything, his kids, his livestock, all of it. It's all gone. In the matter of minutes, I don't know how long it took to communicate that message, but in the amount of time it was communicated, to the time where he could understand it, it was all gone. And now the one thing he had left, we would say, oh, it was his health, his relationship with his wife. She's still alive. They brought those children in. I would imagine that she was involved in the household routine. This is his life mate. Verse 9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. And many people, many teachers like to look at this and say, oh, you know, look how bad it is on that wife. You know, she's horrible, she's terrible. Well, let's slow down with the finger that points. Where would you be in this situation? What would be running through your mind? Verse 10, and he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. This is not to say that God did an evil thing, but there are evil things that will happen to us as we serve the Lord. To think that we are free from suffering is to be delusional. This is why the whole message of the prosperity gospel is a satanic message. Yeah. When I was sitting there in that hospital room, and I'm bloop, 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 you know, scrolling through something, right, on that TV, I was trying to look for something. They had some sort of, oh, it makes you want to rip your hair out. You know what I'm saying? I don't even have hair, so you understand. It's like, oh, I don't remember the name of this ministry, but it was like something, something revitalized Israel. And there's this man in a suit, and he's got all this work that's done on him, and he's just smiling at the camera, and he's saying, if you bless Israel, then God will bless you. And you know what? I don't know if this is true, but on the side, there's people coming into focus. And as you get into focus, it's these people that are on the phone, and they have their little headset, and they're taking calls, and they're taking money. And there's this idea, it's a pagan idea, it's a wicked idea, that if we give our money to the Lord, that he has to give back to us in a financial way. And so people try to scam God. And you have these preachers and these teachers who seem to be examples of this, but they're not. They lack biblical wisdom. Job offered sacrifices daily and faithfully for his children. The man did nothing to deserve this, yet it still happened. And his position was, it's not mine. But did he still hurt? Yes, he did. Look at verse 13. His friends, we're still in chapter 2. His friends came up and they see here in verse 13. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was great. They no doubt heard the howling. They no doubt saw the open cuts on his flesh. They no doubt could smell the burning of the sheep that were consumed, smell the death and decay of those bodies. This was a naked man. He was stripped down to the core. He had nothing left. And all they could do was sit with him for a week and bear with his heavy grief. You and I will go through difficulties in life. You need to be ready for those things by preparing your mindset now. Amen. Let me just be very frank with you. And I apologize for getting emotional. But I have learned this year, my wife is on loan to me. And God forbid something happen. There's a peace. There's a peace. If I lose somebody, or if you lose somebody, you can have a peace. Because our joy is not in that person. You know what I'm saying? Our joy, my wife is not the idol of my life. Yes, she's the love of my life, but she is something that's been given to me and it can be taken away from me. Is the Lord still good? Yes. You won't learn how to understand that if you don't go through difficult times. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If we think that life is going to be great and it's just going to be, and we're just frolicking through the fields of life, you are mistaken. The storm clouds will gather. The rain will come. But God is still good. We don't need to offer him anything. He doesn't need anything from us. He's the self-existent one. Bob did a great job of setting that in Sunday's message. These other idols, you got to give food, you got to give shelter, you got to give sacrifice. God is self-existent. He is, period. Look in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. This is on page 1260. We're going to look at the context of this verse that you see all the time. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Great verse. It's even greater when we understand the context. This verse is not to win sporting games. This is not for the Hail Mary. This is not for the bloop single. This is not for the walk-off. This is not for some gimmick, some trick. This is for you and I to understand that we have everything that we need in him. We really do. Look what it says here in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Boy, the man's clear. You think he's a Baptist with all this repetition. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Your behavior, the way you carry yourself, let it be known that you rejoice. That doesn't mean you can't cry. That doesn't mean you can't have grief that is heavy and it's constricting. That doesn't mean that you can't go through trials and it be evident. But let it be known that you rejoice in the Lord through those things. Let that be known unto, hello, all men. All men. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything by prayer. We can set the stage, right? This is the most important service of the week. I'll stand by that. This is the most important service of the week because we learn how to pray here. We learn that God is able to meet needs. Oh, but Jesse, we prayed for Sister Norma and she died. Is God still good? Amen. Yes, he is. Amen. Is there a hope that comes with her passing? We will see her again. Yeah. Perspective. It's a mindset. By everything, by prayer and supplication, back in verse 6, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Cry out. Job cried out. Why? But he didn't stay in that position. I have seen people go through horrible things, but they get stuck. They get really stuck when they cannot get past their own grief. They can't get past it. They begin to elevate their feelings, their experience, over what God is trying to teach them. Let's not ask why, and let's start asking what. What is the purpose here? What are you trying to teach me? How am I being shaped and molded to be a better tool in service for you? Boy, it makes things, you may not understand it now, but 10 years from now, you may be able to walk along somebody and put your hand on their back and say, I know. Because God's brought you through it. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Why do we study our Bibles? Why do we memorize verses? Why do we put the Bible as the only source of authority in our life? So we can do those things. Amen. It's not just to have all the head knowledge. You got to go do it. And you don't learn how to do it unless you go through something. Yeah. You've heard people say, I didn't have any problems in my life until I started serving the Lord. You're getting it. You're getting it. Because God is sharpening you. He is using you. He is preparing you for something that you have not yet seen, but he has seen it, and he can use you. Now, the question is, are you going to be resolved in that? Are you going to have rest? And I am not up here saying that I am in an elevated position because I've arrived. I am not saying that. But we can determine right now he's still good. Amen. We can say that right now.
All the sins are paid.
Amen. Those things which we read verse 9, look in verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye also were careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. He's learned. You can't learn something unless you have to go through a difficult time. He's learned. What has Paul learned? Boy, that man, he was told, I'm going to show you what great things you must suffer for my name, Paul. Are you excited? Let's go. Let's suffer, right? Shipwreck, stoning, whipping. The man had to be escorted out secretly. Was he used by God to do great and mighty things? He wrote half the New Testament. We're talking about a Pharisee. We're talking about someone who convicted the church. He's learned. Look at verse 11, and I know we've gone over, but let's just wrap up here. In whatsoever state I am, wherever I am, whether he is in wealth or he's in lacking, whatever state I am, therewith to be content, to be resolved, to be, this is enough. I'm satisfied.
Amen.
Oh, but you've just lost this and this. I came in with nothing. I'm going to leave with nothing. The Lord gave. The Lord take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, it's not time for you to be like, look at me. Look what I'm doing. Oh, the Lord is good. No. No, it's not time to lift you up. It's time to lift him up.
Amen.
Is he evident? 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. You see there in verse 10, their giving has flourished. He's received. At one point, they didn't have the opportunity and he hurt because of that, but now they have the opportunity to bless him, and they did bless him, so he knows what it's like to be abased without. He knows what it's like to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now you see verse 13. This is where the outlet goes into the wall, and we got power, baby. Look what it says. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The suffering that you go through and the blessings that you go through, You can do it all because you're found in Him. Because you have rest. Everything is paid for. Everything is taken care of. It's all done. What sins are you talking about? Look at verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Boy, the Philippian church came alongside a hurting servant. That's the role of this church, of these people. And I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about you that are sitting in the pew, you that are sitting at home. We are to come alongside with one another, and we are to communicate the afflictions. What are you going through? This is not the gossip hour. This is not the raise up our sin hour. This is how can I pray for you? Boy, you have a great opportunity tomorrow with Frank. We need to pray for Warren. All of us, the needs that we lifted tonight. I keep track of these things and go back and say, hey, the Lord answered that need. That's pretty neat. I like that. But if we're thinking that the epitome of life is to have the best and be the best and no suffering and, boy, I get to retire early and, boy, I get to do this and that, we can very easily live for self. For me to live is Christ.
To die is gain.
What does it mean to live for Christ? He's the purpose. He's the point. You're not living for gain here. You know what I'm saying? Listen, and I'm telling you this in love. We can properly go through sufferings and say He is still good if we resolve right now that He is all that we need. Are we content with what we have?
Amen.
Is it always like, you know, when you go to the buffet, it's like, if I just get one more trip, if I can just hit that, you know, one more round of sweet and sour chicken or whatever it is, you know? Or are you just, hey man, it's good. I haven't been to a buffet in years. The last time I went to a buffet, I could only go up once because we had a three-hour conversation on doctrine. And sometimes my plate was screaming at me, go back, go back. And I was like, no, we got so there's meat here to eat that you know not of. You know what I'm saying? So we got to do that, and that's it. And to be honest, it's probably better. Probably better that way. But I wanted to bring this forward tonight because this last 6 months of our lives, we have seen the Lord work in ways that I'm just so thankful for. And I don't know what the future holds, you know what I'm saying? We're not in no way saying we've done it, we've fulfilled our quota. I'm sure there'll be more difficult times down the road. There'll be difficult times in your life that my wife and I will need to come alongside you. But at no point did we say, this isn't fair. At no point did we say that God is still not good. We praise the Lord. And it has given my wife and I a peace that I'm going to tell you, if I didn't have the word, I wouldn't understand it. I wouldn't understand it. And I know you've been through things too, and you can think back on moments in your life where you say, Lord, I know you were with me. Yep. Now, get this, He's still with you. Ooh, He came to church with you tonight. He's going home with you tonight. You know what I'm saying? Look up here. Everything I just talked about means nothing if you're not saved, if you haven't put your trust in Jesus Christ. Let me explain what that means. This hand represents you and me. My wallet represents sin. I'm going to put this on top of the hand that represents you and me because we've all sinned. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin, if we were to pay for one sin, is death, eternal separation from God forever in a place called hell. I don't want that for you. God doesn't want that for you. Hell was not created for bad people. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, but it's where sin will also be punished. And we all have sin. God, He loves us very much. He hates our sin because this sin separates us from Him. We have to be perfect to go to heaven. If we let good people into heaven, it would not stay good. You ever heard of a utopia? You ever study socialism, communism? You know why it doesn't work? Because of this. Everybody's got this. We have to be perfect to get to heaven. I want a perfect heaven. I don't want one sinner there. Sin separates us from God. In order to get to heaven, you have to be perfect, just like God. And you can't work your way there. If these notes and these scribbles on the back of this paper represent all of our good works, some people think, oh, hello, God, and hello, how you doing? Here's my good works, and we're going to pay off this debt like a credit card. It doesn't work that way. This is not a valid form of payment. If I go to Chick-fil-A and buy everybody a meal right now, which we still have time, and I go up to the cashier at the end and I pull out a pink 20 from the Monopoly set, someone else is paying this meal. It ain't going to be me. This is what happens when we say, oh, here's our good works. You need to be perfect, not your best. You need to be perfect. We all fall short. We cannot work our way to heaven, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't turn from enough sin. You can't start enough things, stop enough things, commit enough things. Doesn't matter. You need someone to die in your place, and he needs to be perfect. Let me introduce you. This hand represents Jesus Christ, and that's just as a representation. This is God's only begotten Son. He was fully God and fully man. He lived a perfect life, as Hebrews tells us. He was tempted in all points as we have been, but he was found without sin. And he went to that cross, and he took all the sin of all the world, laid it upon himself, and paid for it. He was buried, and he rose again 3 days later. And he said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, that's you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, that whosoever, listen, believeth, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What does it mean to believe? It means to rely, to put your trust in. If you were to die today, do you have 100% assurance that you would be in heaven? The only way you can say yes is because you know who has paid for your sin. Because you don't deserve it. You cannot earn it. It is a free gift given to you by God through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And all you must do to be saved, believe on him. That his death, his burial, and his resurrection paid for all your sin. And now you're in. Do you see how we can say it as well? Even though we've lost everything, even though we go through Job moments in our lives, this is never coming back. And you can rest now, today, in him, because all your sin is paid for. No matter what you do from this point forward, it's all been paid for. But what if, well, let me ask you a question. Is it a sin? Well, yeah, of course. Did Christ pay for it? Well, yes. So, boy, when I tell people that, they're like, oh, well, la-ti-da, you're right. Thank God that he told us that in his word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heads are bowed, please, and eyes are closed. If you're here tonight and you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ, maybe you've played the religion game and you're done with it. Look, I don't blame you. This is not religion here. Maybe you've had difficult times in life where you feel like God has not delivered, but you're seeing here for the first time what it means to have eternal life. I want to encourage you right where you're sitting, if you have yet to put your trust in Jesus Christ, in the payment he made for your sin and his resurrection, I want you to do so right now. I'm not going to ask you to come down the aisle. I'm not going to ask you to fill out a card or have you stand up. I just want to know, by a raised hand, if you would just raise your hand tonight and tell me, hey, Pastor Jesse, tonight I believed on Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection for the payment of my sin. Would you pray for me? Anyone at all before we close? Raising your hand doesn't save you. It just lets me know that you've put your trust in Christ tonight for the first time. Anyone before we close? Heads are bowed and eyes are still closed. If I take it at face value here that we're all believers tonight, are you ready for Job-like moments in your life? There's very difficult things that we have already been through, or we're going through, or we're going to go through. But we can rest in the Lord that he gives and he takes away, but he's still good. I want to encourage you. I want to come alongside you. But we can make that decision tonight. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for Job. Thank you for that book. I pray, Lord, we can learn to trust you.